Happy Easter Sunday to those who observe it, and happy Mountaineer Victorious Sunday for all of Mountaineer Nation. This is Ryan Decker, Kevin Redfern alongside me, and you're listening to the latest episode of the Gold and Blue Nation podcast, brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best, or leak with the rest. We are coming to you from the press box area at Wagoner Field at Kendrick Family Ballpark, West Virginia, now coming off a 15-10 marathon win over Oklahoma State in the series finale Sunday afternoon here on Easter. Kevin, a long one, that's for sure. Just a little over 4 hours of baseball here at the ballpark today. A lot to get into in this series. I guess let's start off this way. Where would you like to start? Do you want to start positively with the Sunday win, or maybe get through the first two games of the series and build up to the positivity?
Let's break down those first two games first. I mean, there's still a lot of positives to take away from them, but the effects of Sunday's win don't really resonate without knowing just what happened on Friday and Saturday, which were two fantastic baseball games when you zoom out of everything.
Yeah, I like that plan a lot. Okay, so let's do that. Let's go Friday first, then we'll get to Saturday's game, and then we will crescendo here up to Sunday afternoon's victory against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. So let's get to Friday. West Virginia and Oklahoma State locked in a pitcher's duel. Aiden Major for West Virginia, fantastic. 8 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts, only 2 earned runs allowed, only 1 walk, and 6 hits given up. The problem was, for West Virginia and for Aiden Major, Sam Garcia on the other side was just as good, if not maybe a little bit better. 11 strikeouts in 7 innings of work for the OK State starter. Only 3 hits allowed, only 1 run given up. And that's your difference in the ballgame right there. West Virginia losing 2-1 in the series opener on Friday night. Grant Hussey providing the only run of that game for West Virginia on a bomb of a home run there late in the ballgame. But Kevin, you were here in the ballpark on Friday. Great way overall, I think thematically, to start a series between two good teams, two teams you think are going to be players in the postseason, but just did not go West Virginia's way in a great pitcher's duel Friday night.
Yeah, in terms of narrative, and if you're looking at the box score, this game was nearly identical for both Oklahoma State and West Virginia. You mentioned Garcia and Major shoving on the mound. They both made a few mistakes, but responded really well. Aiden Major gave up a leadoff double, I think, to start the game. Didn't allow a run in the first inning. His one big mistake was the home run ball, but then Grant Hussey got one for West Virginia too. So the difference in Friday's game was really Oklahoma State's ability to manufacture a run in the sixth inning. West Virginia did have a couple of opportunities with runners in scoring position, runners on base later in the game, particularly in the eighth inning, but a big strikeout from Ben Lumsden and Reed Chumley to end the inning kind of thwarted any momentum they had. And that was really when they were going to win the game, was in the eighth inning. But yeah, I mean, a great baseball game. I think there was only 1 walk total on Friday and just 1 error. So clean, exactly what you got, exactly what you pay for when you buy a Friday night ticket to a Big 12 baseball game.
West Virginia and Oklahoma State here, it seems like the last several years have matched up in a lot of really good pitchers' duels, especially on Friday nights. Now that I think about it, just you're getting to see more of these between these two teams, which is becoming interesting. You know, obviously Oklahoma State has the pedigree of being one of, if not the best pitching factory, you can almost say, in the Big 12 Conference, maybe rivaled by Texas, I guess, historically. But Oklahoma State, always a good pitching staff. West Virginia seems to answer the call against the Pokes. And it was the same for 95% of the day on Saturday. So let's get to Saturday now. West Virginia and Oklahoma State locked up in another pitcher's duel. Derek Clark, for his second weekend in a row, goes 9 innings, not as many strikeouts for Clark, 6 on the day for him on Saturday, matching the 6 hits he gave up, but Clark only gives up 1 run, only walked run as well. On the other side, Brian Holiday for Oklahoma State, he also shoves. 8 innings pitch, only 1 run allowed, 5 strikeouts for him, only 3 hits given up, one of those hits being a Reed Chumley home run early in the game that allowed West Virginia to take an early lead. And WVU led in that game until the 8th inning, and that's when Oklahoma State finally broke through. Carson Bench, who got the save the day before, the night before, he comes back and gets a ground into double play RBI there, which ended up being a really big pitch there by Derek Clark. If he doesn't get out of that jam with just one run, the rest of that game doesn't happen the way it does because you don't get that opportunity. West Virginia has a chance to go ahead both in the, I think, the eighth and the ninth inning to win the ball game there. Unable to. We play extras. The 10th, no runs scored. The 11th, however, the wheels just fell off the bus for West Virginia. Nine runs scored by the Pokes in the 11th inning. Oklahoma State winning on Saturday 10-1 in a game that really just in the 11th inning got away from West Virginia in a way that I don't think anyone in the ballpark saw coming at all.
Right, and when you mention everyone in the ballpark, I think everyone pretty much knew that game was over when Oklahoma State went up 3-1 in the 11th. They led the inning off with back-to-back home runs, and West Virginia hadn't scored a run since Reed Chumley went yard in solo manner in the first inning. So there was just nothing going on offensively for West Virginia. Everything else that happened after that was kind of, like you said, just the wheels falling off the bus. But for two games in a row, you got a starter who dominates in Derek Clark. You get one home run from one of your most consistent hitters in the lineup that likes to go deep. So you can almost pencil that in for once a game. But other than that, just nothing going offensively for West Virginia. And I mean, we haven't even mentioned it. Oklahoma State entered this series with the best team ERA in the Big 12. They held off their ace Holiday until Saturday. So this game was always going to be the kind of the pitcher's duel. Friday was the cherry on top. But I mean, putting up one run against anyone in the Big 12 in nine innings is probably not going to get you a win.
And once again, West Virginia's offense just kind of sputtering at this point. Through the first two games of this series, West Virginia's lineup had produced just a combined two runs on eight hits, leaving nine men on base. And when you're only getting a few number of runners on base, you have to be able to capitalize on those opportunities. West Virginia didn't do that Friday or Saturday. Did a much better job of capitalizing on Sunday. As we fast forward to today now, West Virginia jumping out to a 6-1 lead in the second inning thanks to a couple of big hits by Spencer Barnett and then Kyle West as well getting involved there in this game as well. Spencer Barnett, he was a guy, a freshman, who we learned after the game might not have even been on this team had the rosters been set in the fall. And then you fast forward today and he comes up with five RBI on the day. But we'll get to that in a second. But West Virginia goes up 6-1 after a big second inning, extend the lead to 9-1 with a three-run third, go up 10-3 through four innings. And you're thinking, okay, West Virginia's got this one in the bag. But Oklahoma State just never went away. The Cowboys score in three consecutive innings, at least two runs in three of those innings. And ultimately, the final score is 15-10. It's a big offensive day for both of these teams as the lineups really wake up for the totality of this game. But it's a game where I think you mentioned earlier, if you don't talk about how Friday and Saturday went, it's hard to maybe visualize how Sunday goes. The fact of the matter is, West Virginia, by only using a combined, I believe it was five pitchers the first 2 days, and really it's two starters doing a majority of that work, had the entire bullpen at their use. Randy Mazey being able to use a lot of arms on Sunday when he didn't want to have to use a lot of arms, but unfortunately just no one for West Virginia really able to throw strikes for a consistent, prolonged outing today, except for Carson Estridge there at the end, who comes in and gets the save in the 15-10 win.
Yeah, and Tyler Swetolski got the start on Sunday. I think it was his seventh start, so he's kind of being solidified as the Sunday guy, but his start and the expectations of his role is completely different from Major and Clark's. Swetolski's only hit five innings once this year, and that was in his first start. Now, they're not saying they're doing a bullpen by committee game, but Swetolski's leash is a lot shorter. But even though he didn't even go four full innings on Sunday, I think he still pitched pretty well, worked himself out of a couple early jams, was filling up the zone for most of the game. He ended up exiting what, the fourth inning?
Yeah, in the fourth, he goes 3 1/3, 3 earned runs allowed. He has charged for 3 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks. Maybe some better stats, especially in the walks department than he has been as of late, but you still want to see him go a little bit longer, because I think that was the expectation coming into the season, was he was going to be a guy, certainly a weekend starter, who could give you, if you're Randy Mazey, a little bit of length there on the weekends.
Yeah, the expectation is definitely going to be that they want to get more out of him as the season goes on, but you also will take that performance, I think. Sunday college baseball games are just getting out of hand what they're scoring. I mean, the parallels from scoring in Sundays in the fall to Sundays in the spring at the college level are beginning to be kind of similar. I think you mentioned it. Carson Estridge was the best pitching performance of the day for West Virginia, and he was jacked up. We're sitting here recording at about 6:15 Eastern, and an hour after the final pitch, and Carson Estridge just walked off the field with his family. There was some post-game Easter festivities too, but he's really soaking it in, and that could be a performance that he builds on going forward.
It was funny, after he got the final strikeout there in the eighth inning to end a potential rally, or what ended up being a 3-run inning for the Cowboys, Carson, super fired up coming off the mound. But the way he got into the dugout was just so funny to me. And I had a great view of it from up here. He is fired up off the mound, yelling and screaming and stuff like that. He's yelling into the dugout, and then he just does an about face, gets on the railing, and you can just tell all the stress just came off of him from that appearance, because he had to come in. I believe the bases were loaded.
No outs.
Yeah, bases loaded, no outs when he comes into this game. And he limits the damage from there. That was a huge appearance by Carson Estridge, which, again, in a game in which there was 25 runs scored, that's easy to get lost in translation here. But Carson Estridge, huge late in the game.
And an inning before, there were rumors that West Virginia could have gotten to 10 runs, which we're not positive at, but might have ended the game. And then you just fast forward 20 minutes later with Estridge on the mound and the tying runs in the on-deck circle. So, I mean, the momentum had totally flipped at that point. Andrew Caridi on the radio broadcast is talking about how the morale in the West Virginia dugout is basically gone. Mm-hmm. And then he's able to kind of be that human AED and get a heartbeat going.
Second straight week, Andrew Caridi gets a shout out or a mention here on the Golden Blue Nation podcast. Not sure what that means, but it is a stat worth watching moving forward here the rest of this season, as he is the unofficial voice of Mountaineer baseball here this summer, this spring. So West Virginia, losing this series 2-1 to Oklahoma State, winning the series finale 15-10 here on Sunday afternoon on Easter Sunday. And we'll now go into the month of April with a 5-4 record in league play, 16-12 overall in the season. And we talked about this with Randy Mazey after the game. You know, things have not gone West Virginia's way this year in a myriad of ways, whether it's the health and the injuries of this team, wins and losses, momentum swinging back and forth constantly, it seems like, not getting consistent production out of the lineup and out of the pitching staff at times as well, too. But you look in the Big 12 standings, and everything is just so bunched together. A lot of teams still kind of sputtering and still trying to find their gears. It's interesting how this league is shaping up right now, and it's kind of that way around the country. There haven't been, maybe outside of the top two or three teams in the national rankings right now, the dominance has not been there as consistently this year as I think we're used to seeing across college baseball. So maybe that keeps the door open as well for West Virginia here. We're going to get to some thoughts from the Mountaineers here coming up in just a couple of moments, but do want to give this opportunity to Kevin here. Any other thoughts just initially on this series, especially the Sunday finale? Spencer Barnett hitting really well at the plate, Kyle West having a nice day at the plate today. And if you haven't seen the clip on West Virginia's Twitter account of Angelica Trinone interviewing Kyle West's dad while Kyle hits a home run, it's a fantastic clip. Definitely go look at that. Any last reactions here, maybe from just Sunday, as we kind of recap this series finale between WVU and OK State?
I think you've kind of alluded to it, but last year there was so much talk about how well veteran transfers kind of filled the lineup. This year, there are those guys, Reed Chumley, one of them, who's just been pretty solid the whole year. But I think the conversation this year in the lineup, when you talk about classes, is the freshmen and those freshman lefties. There are 3 freshman lefties in the lineup today, and they scored 15 runs. Spencer Barnett was by far the best hitter in today's game. Maybe not by far, but the best hitter in today's game. And he looks cool as a cucumber out there as a freshman. Michael Peraz is putting barrels on balls. And then Aaron Jameson, who was kind of peaking last week and played some hero ball then, still looking good. I think he had a hit and maybe an RBI today too. So those guys look completely comfortable in their roles. They do not look like freshmen at all. And now you kind of seeing another core being built. I mean, fans haven't even been able to see the supposed core that was expected out of this team with J.J. Weatherholt, Logan Sauve, and the dynamic is kind of flipping, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Great points there about the freshman lefties in the lineup today. West Virginia, for the second day in a row at least, rolls out a lineup with 7 left-handed hitters and only 2 right-handed hitters. You just don't see that in baseball in today's game. So it's really interesting to see Randy Mazey constructing this lineup. Again, as you mentioned, with 2 key pieces, J.J. Weatherholt, Logan Sauve, still not fully available. But he did kind of mention that those two guys could be trending towards being available here in the near future. 2 more stats before we get to a break. And then you hear from Coach Mazey. One is today on Sunday, 7 strikeouts for West Virginia hitters at the plate, 7 walks. Good to see West Virginia be able to match those numbers and have a good ratio there. The other thing worth mentioning, win number 352 in his career for Randy Mazey at WVU, and actually has the best winning percentage of any WVU skipper to win at least 300 games. So that's something worth watching here the rest of the season. But we're going to get a quick word from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll get you some sound from Randy Mazey after a victorious day at the ballpark here on Sunday.
Elite Roofing and Construction is West Virginia's and the region's top reliable roofing professionals. Elite Roofing LLC specializes in residential and commercial roofing services and is dedicated to providing customer service that is second to none. Whether you have a new construction project or need to replace an old or damaged roof, Elite Roofing offers roofing repair and replacement services with free estimates. We also work with a variety of roofing types, including metal, shingle, tile, and rubber roofing. All of our work is completed by trained and certified roofing specialists. We never use subcontractors to complete any of our work. We work with insurance and financing is available. Elite Roofing and Construction, roof with the best or leak with the rest.
Despite the ill-fated efforts of President Biden and his wealthy New York friends, West Virginia coal is thriving and being shipped to 45 countries worldwide. Given its high quality and clean burning properties, countries across the globe are demanding and consuming it, and in-state production continues to grow. With billions of dollars of recent investment in West Virginia mining operations, combined with the reliability of our coal-fired electric manufacturing facilities, West Virginia coal is here to stay. No other fuel in the world matches West Virginia coal for base load generation and steel making. Like a good friend, it's always been and always will be there, keeping the lights on and contributing greatly to our growing economy. In fact, coal continues to sustain 50,000 plus West Virginia jobs, putting food on the table for Mountain State families. Visit friendsofcoal.org to learn more. A message from the Friends of Coal.
Gold and Blue Nation podcast baseball series recap edition here for you on this Sunday. At least that's when we are recording this. You might be listening to it on a Monday or a Tuesday leading up to the series coming up this weekend against Kansas on the road for the Mountaineers. But before we get there, before we kind of contextualize where West Virginia and the Big 12 is at, let's hear from the skipper, Randy Mazey, as he spoke with the media on Sunday following the 15-10 win over Oklahoma State.
Good performance there from Carson under some high pressure. Where can he go from here after performance like that?
You know, I just told him, if you're going to play at this level, any sport, it's the moment you want to be in. When you sit around as a child and dream about your baseball career, you don't dream about getting walked with nobody on base and 2 outs in a 10-run game. You dream of being in big moments. If you're on a basketball team, you dream of the coach designing the last shot for you. If you're on a football team, you want the Hail Mary thrown to you. If you're in baseball, you want to be on the mound with the game on the line. You want to be in the box with the game on the line. And you have to develop that. It's just not, oh, okay, I'll do that. You have to develop that. That's why we're always trying to create those situations in inter-squad games and practice to see how guys respond. And that was pretty cool to see Estridge, the look in his eye. He's kind of a crazy man to start with, so the look in his eye, he just wanted to finish that game.
Lineup woke up for you today. Better approaches today overall from the your guys?
don't know if they were better approaches. Our approaches have been pretty good. It was the seriousness of trying to salvage a win, and our backs were against the wall just like they were last Friday after we got no hit down there. So far, this team, every time their back's been against the wall, they've responded, which is kind of cool. And today was only about the halfway point of the season, exactly the halfway point. So I think, considering what we've been through, we're in a really good spot at 5-4 in the league with six series left to play. And looks like we're going to start getting some guys back before too long. So proud of this team, what they did today.
Spencer Barnett got you started there in the second inning. Just, he seems to make the most out of his moments when he's in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, and went into the season. He went into the fall not even knowing if he was going to make the team or not. And here he is in a Big 12 series when we're trying to win a game and goes out and gets four hits and five RBIs. Just a credit to him and his preparation and what he's ready to do, because had not been for JJ going down, Crusher going down, he would have near as many at-bats as he has right now. But it's pretty cool that all that experience that he had is starting to show up.
You mentioned the Big 12 standings earlier. I don't know. Do you talk with that about, or talk about that with your guys, I should say, just that, you know, things maybe haven't gone your all's ways overall this so far this year, but the standings, they're shaping out kind of crazy right now.
Yeah, this league is just craziness. Nobody acts like they want to walk, run away with it. Nobody acts like they want to lose, you know. So you could realistically get into the last weekend of the regular season and still have a lot of teams with a chance to win it and a lot of teams with a chance to not make the conference tournament. So every game you can win is just worth its weight in gold. But if you don't talk to them about it, they're going to see it on social media. So you might as well, can't ignore it. So they know where we're at. They know where we're ranked. They know the standings. So yeah, we're if we could go 5-4 two more times in the next three series, that puts us in a really good spot.
Based on the way today's game went, how valuable were Aiden and Derek the past 2 days of going long into games and pitching really well and saving the bullpen?
Dang sure saved the bullpen, because we threw about 7 or 8 of them today, and you need every one of them, because you never know when a guy goes in there how he's going to do until he gets out there. So ideally, I didn't want to take Max out of the game, didn't want to take Ham out, didn't want to take Gavin out, didn't want to take Porco out, but you have to. You know, things weren't trending in a great direction, so it's easy to change pitchers after the damage has occurred, but trying to get them out of there and a new guy in there before the damage is the trick. And thankfully, Carson came in there, bases loaded, nobody out, I think. He got all three outs.
All right, there he is, the skipper, Randy Mazy of the Mountaineers. West Virginia improving to 5-4 in Big 12 play, 16-12 on the season. West Virginia in a tie for fifth place in the Big 12 standings, technically in sixth once you add in the tiebreakers with Oklahoma State, who is also sitting at 5-4 in league play. Looking at the Big 12 right now, Oklahoma leads things 7-2 in Big 12 play. K-State, a really good team, 18-8 overall on the season, 6-3 in league play, tied with Texas there for second place. Kansas, who West Virginia will see this upcoming weekend, 7-5 in league play. Oklahoma State and West Virginia both 5-4. UCF 6-6, having a decent season here in its first year in the Big 12. And then Cincinnati, the rest of these teams all under 500. Cincinnati, TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor, Houston, and BYU in that order under 500 in the Big 12 league standings. Kevin, we heard Randy Mazy say today that West Virginia the last 2 weekends has done a good job responding when its backs are up against the wall. You're kind of seeing that here from this team over the last 2 weekends. Oklahoma no hitting the Mountaineers, then West Virginia responding in the doubleheader. Oklahoma State getting the better of WVU back-to-back days Friday and Saturday, and then the lineup finally waking up. It's good quality to have, but I think the flip side of that conversation is maybe you don't want your backs to be up against the wall so frequently. Some of that out of your control, though.
Yeah, I mean, you love how you respond, but it'd be sure nice to go into Sunday already winning a conference series, right? And I mean, that's kind of the next rung of the ladder. I mean, if you look at it kind of zoomed out, this is a step down from last week when you win a series on the road against right now the top team in the conference. yes, I mean, there's always going to be silver linings. That's kind of what we're doing here. You know, a sweep would be nice, right? Yeah. I mean, they went all of last season before without getting swept before the final series of the year of the conference season. It'd be nice to kind of get on that momentum, that track record. When you look at Kansas for next week, obviously, if you take at least two of three there, then you'll likely hop a spot in the standings. And then you got UCF right on your tail, and UCF has the second best overall record in the conference right now. So it's safe to assume that they could take a leap within the next week here too. That means, I mean, on paper, these next two weekends are going to be very, very important. And I mean, us in the press box, we've been calling every series very, very important, dating back to the Ohio State series. But I mean, these ones conference-wise are big. And like Skipper said, this is the halfway point of the conference season already. I mean, things are rolling by pretty fast.
This is the fifth time this season that West Virginia has lost back-to-back games. You mentioned that it took all the way until the very end of the regular season last year, that Texas series, before West Virginia got swept. Every time so far this year, West Virginia has lost back-to-back games, they have responded with a win, and I believe every time they've responded with multiple wins. They have not let these losing streaks become prolonged. The unfortunate thing is, and I think we discussed this last week as well, that the mini losing streaks, these two-game slides, they are beginning to pop up, and they are negating some momentum from being built, which you need at this point in the year, because you know, we mentioned that it's the midway point in the season. You are, 26, 28 games in. You got equally that many to go. But as Yogi Berra once said, it's getting late early out here, and you need West Virginia's best players, J.J. Weatherholt, Logan Sauve, to come back sooner rather than later so you can hopefully build some momentum. But as we kind of talk about that, we look at the Big 12 standings, and to Mazey's credit, he's been pretty consistent about this after each series, even if the series aren't going WVU's way, of saying, look, we're looking at the Big 12 standings, maybe not too intently, but we're saying that this conference is still wide open. If you continue to do about what we're doing, you're in play for at least the postseason, if not maybe in contention to go win a league crown. That's ultimately the ultimate goal there. How does West Virginia, though, build some momentum? Because that's got to be the question moving forward, right? How do you build some momentum? And maybe instead of going 5-4, you're going 6-3 or 7-2 over the next couple of series.
Well, you need to get a win with Aiden Major on the mound, because now it's been a couple weeks. And coming into this backstretch of March, the thought process within the clubhouse was, when Aiden's pitching, they're going to win. I don't think that that's the case anymore, at least from a morale standpoint. So you get a game with Aiden Major, if you get a win there, then you kind of get back on that track. All right, we're going to win every Friday. That puts us a leg up, and we just need to steal one more for a series win, because two wins every weekend in Big 12 series is going to go a long way. We don't need to be perfectionists here and act like you need to be going and sweeping Texas. But then I also think here in this middle stretch of the season, there will be teams that figure it out and will separate themselves at the top of the conference. If you can be one of them, after a month of play that's been kind of, you know, shaky and not necessarily optimal, then you're kind of getting lucky almost. And that would definitely be able to turn some bad luck into some good luck.
So a couple keys here of how to build momentum potentially for WVU. You talk about Aiden Major and the team getting him a win when he's on the mound. It's interesting always to me how Randy goes about putting his starting rotation together. At times in his WVU career, he has really mixed and matched where he places his quote-unquote ace. Sometimes that ace, you know exactly who it is. When Alec Manoah was here, you knew who that ace was. This year, I think it's a toss-up right now between Derek Clark and Aiden Major of who that true ace of the staff is. At times, Randy has put that ace either on a Friday when you know the opposite team's ace goes on Saturday normally, or sometimes he's in the inverse of that. You put your ace on Saturday when you know the other team's ace goes on Friday, trying to ensure you get a win one of those 2 days, and then you leave Sunday up to what it is. So that's one thing that I think we need to keep track of kind of moving forward is how West Virginia kind of views its starting rotation, and also just if West Virginia can get it a win on the Friday night, what that does the rest of the weekend moving forward. That's one thing to watch. The other thing I think is key And again, this does go along with getting JJ and Logan back in the lineup. That's the caveat to a lot of things this season. But just putting the ball in play more consistently, that's one thing West Virginia, I thought, did really well here on Sunday. They were consistently putting the ball in play, giving themselves a chance to get on base. A lot of times this year, they have not done that. Last year was maybe the best team I think I've seen in my time here at WVU of the Mountaineers putting the ball in play with hard contact consistently. So far this year, this team has not done that nearly as consistently. They're at or near the bottom of the Big 12 in batting average for a reason. They've just not given themselves good opportunity, whether that's approach, whether that's just simply results of how bat meets ball at times. They just have not done that very well. I think that's the big thing. And then the third thing as well to mention, West Virginia has to get its bullpen figured out. What it's doing with David Hageman, what it's doing with the rest of these guys, who's going to be available to throw strikes? Is it going to be Carson Estridge, who's a quote-unquote setup man for you the rest of the way? If Hageman is your true closer or your true high-leverage situation guy, what is Maxiel's role? What are some of these other guys' roles? I think you have to figure that out here in the next couple of weeks as things really start to build up and you get closer and closer to what you hope is a postseason run.
And those guys out of the pen, they need to build up some consistency too. It's on them. Guys like coming into this series, Gavin Van Kempen was a guy who was kind of stepping out or showing out, I should say. And he could be a midweek guy. He could do long relief on the weekends. He didn't pitch that great today. Ravi Porco's shown flashes over the last couple of years. He really didn't look great today. But yeah, I mean, it's all about, I mean, throwing strikes for one, being able to pitch with runners on base two, and then being comfortable with the uncomfortable. The guys who can find those high pressure situations out of the bullpen appealing, and I think Randy talked about this, and kind of seeking those opportunities, those are going to be the guys we start seeing two, maybe even three times a week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with West Virginia moving forward. An open date on the schedule right now as of this recording for Tuesday. That was a game that was originally scheduled, I believe, against Maryland and then was ultimately canceled right around the start of the season. West Virginia will be hitting the road to face Kansas in a three-game weekend series beginning on Friday, and then they'll be back home to face the Knights, as you mentioned, of UCF. So I think the next two weekends, a really good barometer of where this team is going to be. You've got a Kansas team maybe playing above its weight a little bit here in conference play, and then you can maybe make the same argument about UCF, and that team had a really good weekend this weekend against Texas Tech in a series that the Knights won on the road. So we'll see what happens here over the next two weekends. Of course, we will be back with you every weekend to recap what's going on with the Mountaineer baseball team, and make sure to check in with us at goldenbluenation.com for all of your Mountaineer sports coverage and on the always free Golden Blue Nation app. For Kevin Redfern, I'm Ryan Decker here at Kendrick Family Ballpark. This is the Golden Blue Nation podcast brought to you by Elite Roofing and Construction. Roof with the best or leak with the rest. We'll see you later.